I'm Will Hedrick.
And I'm Jordan Schaffer.
And this is Dog Ears and Timestamps, a book club podcast.
And this book is getting scandalous, dude.
Scandalous.
Yeah.
Like that show.
Have you seen that show, Scandalous?
No, I haven't. I think it's just Scandal, but yeah. I never saw any episodes of that. It didn't interest me in the slightest, to be perfectly honest.
Well.
The lady on it looked like she was very, very pretty. And I know nothing else about her.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know her name as an actress. I don't know other things she's been in. And I don't know even that show. So.
Well, dude, tell me about your week and your reading and when you found time to read. What did you do this week?
I read some, I think like Thursday night or something like that, just trying to get ahead of it. I read probably about half of it. And then I didn't read the other half until last night.
Nice.
I was up until like maybe two or three reading. Can't remember exactly. Aside from that, nothing really special happened. Mm-hmm. It's just a championship weekend for the NFL.
And
that's really it. And everything else is just the same as ever.
Nice.
But yeah, nothing special, I guess.
Yeah.
What was yours all about?
Yeah, dude, same thing. I didn't do much. I did have something special happen, though. It was my grandma's 90th birthday on Saturday, so I got to go to her birthday party, which is cool.
That's cool.
But I didn't really do any reading until today. I mean, it was just, I knew it was going to be a bit of a short section, and at least short for the audio. I listened to it a couple times a day, and it was only about like 45 minutes to an hour of listening. And it was
that's not bad at all.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. And it was all like one character, so it was kind of easy to follow. It was
it's just Arthur.
Yeah, and it was so it's cool. I just got a lot of Arthur today, and then like a lot of comedy. My headphones broke like halfway through the week, and they like weren't charging, so I was worried. Like I went through a headphone like not like a headphone scare, but you know these are nice headphones, and my brother gave them to me, and they've been working really, really well for a while. And I was just like super disappointed when I thought that they weren't charging anymore. Could have just been like, honestly, I think it might have just been like earwax or something. Like you just need to like clean them every time I use them or something so they can make a good connection.
Right, yeah.
On their charging pad.
That's how mine are too. I try to make sure that they have like a clean connection.
Yeah. I donated to the Alzheimer's Association for her birthday, and then she got like some cute cards, and she got some gambling money because she's going gambling next weekend, I think.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, she always goes gambling for her birthday. Yeah, what else did I do this weekend? I think that was it. It was just cool being home. Everything at home, like, you know how everything used to have carpet? There's no carpet anywhere at the house.
Oh, anymore. Yeah.
It's all hardwood floor and tile.
Oh, nice. I bet that looks really awesome.
Cool. Yeah, and the mom got new marble on like the countertops over there, so like everything is not really all that different, you know. Everything's still in the same spot, but it's just like updated, you know.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It looks really good. So that was cool going over and seeing that, and just like, all right, this looks good and nice.
Right.
Yeah, just kind of came back late on Sunday. Yeah, dude, that's basically it. I mean, I listened to it a few times a day. I mean, I think we both said it. Neither of us took notes. It was kind of easy to follow.
Yeah, but there's not a whole lot that happens.
Yeah.
We jump back in time from where we were with George.
Yeah.
Several years. I mean, there's a whole lot that's an indeterminate span of time. It's not like they very infrequently give us hard dates throughout this book.
Yeah, I mean, we assume that, I mean, it must jump back at least like 13 years because it shows us when Arthur first meets Jean. And he's known her for 13 years before, you know, two.
Yeah, but we don't know exactly like when that is.
No, that's
it doesn't tell us, and that was it doesn't tell us, and that was in 1903 or anything like that. It's just like because it's what I assume it does is it jumps back to where we last were with him.
Yeah,
but yeah, so he meets Gene Leckie. Mm-hmm. He meets Gene Leckie at some party, some rich person party that he's at. And is kind of like astounded by her because she's like different or whatever.
Yeah, she's the
not exactly what he expects out of a woman at that time.
Yeah, like forward and like bold, and like he's just like, oh my goodness, this woman is just
right.
She's so into me. Also, his wife has freaking, as we last left her, with...
she's got the consumption.
The consumption, yeah. I ended up, like, Googling it. I should have Googled it again. But I'm pretty sure it's, like, lymphoma, something like that.
Yeah, it is something like that. But yeah, the so she's like dying and she's bedridden and doesn't really get to do or can do anything, but just hang out at the house. And so he is sort of like becoming lonely because she's not really like a wife so much as a dependent that he cares for.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. So he's kind of like,
yeah, all the passion's kind of gone.
So he sort of like falls out of love with her, and but then he meets Jean and sort of falls in love with her because she's, you know, so different, or sort of like he just becomes really taken with her and evidently falls in love like immediately. That's what they really, when they talk to each other about it, that's how they act.
Yeah, he makes it sound like they're like really in love. It's not just like a lustful thing, you know, because there is like a bit of an age difference, but it's not like she's into him because he's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And he wasn't even a sir back then when they met.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like she was into him because of his fame or his fortune or whatever. She was like into him. Dude, were you like when they were first like going out and you knew something was gonna happen and then like they kind of went for the kiss and then they used the terminology cock stand? Is that weird for you?
It was a phrase that I hadn't heard before, but I was pretty sure I knew what it was.
Yeah, no, I knew what it was. I just had never heard that, and I listened to it a bunch today, and I kept hearing that, and they kept saying it, and I was like, ugh. It just doesn't sound good in that guy's voice, I guess.
It was kind of a weird phrase.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird moment, I guess, too. But
yeah. They sort of, like, more and more impatiently. So, to begin with, they start, like, just meeting every now and then in secret just to, like, hang out.
Yeah.
They don't really talk. I think they kiss a little bit.
Yeah, they establish the rules, then, like, we're allowed to kiss and, yeah, then, like, hold hands.
Like, they're not going to have sex because... he's still married to Tui, to Louisa, mm-hmm. and can't dishonor her in that way. But then she's, Jean also has, like, you know, her reputation to uphold or whatever it is. You know, the sort of, like, old ideas of honor and chivalry that he's so obsessed with throughout his whole life. So he's like, we can't have sex. We can kiss a little bit, and we can meet and talk and be in love, but that's it. And so that's, like, all they do. But then he slowly starts integrating her into life in different ways where...
his, like, social circles, his...
like, he introduces her to the ma'am and...
who's that? Is that his mom? Yeah. I feel like that's his mom. Yeah, okay.
That's a very British thing.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the rest of his family. He meets her family, and she even meets Louise's mother. And there's, like, everybody's kind of in on it, knowing that... you know, Arthur is lonely and Louisa
is gonna die
at some point, you know, in the near future.
I hate to say it.
And everybody sort of accepts it or doesn't even, you know, mind or anything like that. Specifically, his mother accepts it like immediately and then internally thinks about how she did the same thing when his father was, you know, taken to hospital or whatever with Waller, the doctor that moved in that Arthur didn't like, and that she's still doing now, as we find out later on in the chapter. She's still living on the estate there, and she goes to the house every now and then to have dinner with him, or he goes to visit her at her cottage. Even though he's now married to somebody, she's still, like, totally his mistress, and it's just, like, whatever. It's just a totally acceptable thing.
Dang, yeah. I never heard that. That's cool.
It's part of her own sort of, like, inner dialogue a couple of times that we very briefly get. And then Arthur also thinks about it sometimes because he starts taking his mom's cottage at Waller's estate becomes one of the meeting spots that he and Jean go to hang out at.
Yeah, I think I get that. I heard that.
And so they spend more than one, like, dinner with Waller and his mother there at the house. And he's just reflecting back on, you know, he's married, and evidently my mom is his mistress. I have this woman that I haven't made my mistress, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, we're in love, even though I'm married, and, you know, we kiss.
Yeah,
we kiss. It's so, like, almost lame, right?
Yeah.
And so he like has this sort of like internal conflict of like, does every marriage have secrets like this? Is this a commonplace thing? Because it's so against his like, you know, childhood idealized version of, you know, what it is to be a man and, you know, in a committed relationship and things like that.
Yeah.
But then he's also like anybody that's doing something wrong that they know to be wrong or at least are mildly conflicted about whether or not it's about being right or wrong. He is always trying to, he's trying to justify it the entire time.
Yeah.
He gets in a big fight with Connie, his oldest sister, who married the other author that we talked about in the previous
episode. Yeah, yeah, that he approved of.
Yeah. They catch him and Gene in public, like, kissing? Sort of, not kissing, but they're, like, walking with arms linked or whatever.
Ooh.
And they, and Connie and her like husband that, sort of, like,
author.
Sort of, like, Connie looks away as they walk past, and her husband just, like, sort of eyes Arthur, like, what are you doing, dude? And so then later on, Arthur goes to meet with Connie at her house and explains everything to her, like, this is, you know, how everything is. This is how I feel about Jean, and, you know, Louisa can't, you know, be a wife anymore. She's going to die, blah, 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 this sort of thing. And so at first, Connie's like, yeah, okay, I mean, I get it. You know, we're all good. And then her husband also says, like, you know, just as much. But then, like, a couple of days later, they call him over again, and they're like, no, now we're, like, really thinking about it. And y'all need to be careful about what y'all are doing. If y'all are acting like that in public, you're going to, one, dishonor Tui, and you're going to end up dishonoring Gene as well. And Arthur gets all fucking bent out of shape about that. He's like, I won't be told what to do by the likes of you and blah, blah, blah.
By the likes of you.
He has, like, all this, like, internal conflict constantly going back and forth, knowing that, you know, it's not totally above board.
Yeah.
But he does believe in it at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's there's some, like, interesting thought experiment as about, like, relationships and humanity throughout this section.
Yeah, so he ends up just kind of biding his time, right? Like, waiting it out until his
Yeah, wife they agree dies that that's what's going to have to happen. And they so we never see, like, her honor. Internal conflict. But yeah. She seems to be like, no, this is fine. This is, you know, more or less great. I'm just happy to be in love with you and we'll wait.
Yeah.
Whereas because he's the character we're following, we see all his internal conflict. And he's just constantly like, oh my God, this is so frustrating. But we do see more of Arthur's frustration and then obviously his moral quandary that he's sort of in.
And I mean, it kind of touches on what he thinks she believes. Because he's like, ooh, she's so forward. She almost wants me to make her my mistress, you know? Like, it almost seems like she kind of wants to be that, but maybe not.
Well, eventually he gets knighted.
Yeah.
Well, he goes to
makes him.
Yeah, he goes to South Africa.
Yeah, to war,
for the
right?
war. Yeah, for the South African war.
Mm-hmm.
As a doctor, he volunteers. Feels like it's some sort of duty for him to go.
Yeah, he feels like because he's kind of
he's got like a lot of fame and stuff like that. He feels like he's looked up to.
Yeah, by all the young men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he thinks that he should be a good example of that, and you know, again, obsessed with his sense of honor and duty and that sort of thing.
Which is pretty cool, because he goes, he does his service, and then when he comes back, the queen of the time wants to give him the knighthood, like we just said.
Well, the queen passes.
Oh, no.
And a new king is crowned.
Oh.
And he happens to be, not like friends with him, but through like his connections and, you know, his now, you know, large English fame, he ends up in different, you know, gatherings and things like that where different people are, and he ends up meeting him, I think, before he gets crowned. And then, so they're friends. And then whenever he becomes the king, after Arthur, you know, goes off to war, he, you know, gets offered a knighthood.
Okay.
To, you know, for all of that. And he doesn't really like the idea at first. He thinks that it's sort of like, not like below him necessarily, but it's on a level that he doesn't aspire to. He aspires to something higher. But then his mom is like, what the fuck, dude? Like, yeah, what was all of this for?
Yeah, if not to get your knighthood and be remembered forever in history.
Right. And so he ends up doing it. And then that's really pretty much all that happens. And then, of course, you know, towards the end, Louisa dies, Tui dies. And he goes into, like, a pretty severe depression.
Yeah, things get all awkward with Jean, too. She doesn't go to the funeral. She sends her condolences. And then, like, the first time she comes to visit, he's all, like, super awkward. And he sets, like, a weird awkward tone for, like, the visit.
He doesn't really know how to behave.
Yeah.
And then... For whatever reason, he's become hung up on, you know, whatever. And then he hears something from Mary, his daughter, who had heard something from Tui before she died, where she said something like, "Don't be surprised if your father remarries after I pass." Like, you know, let that be like a thing that you can be ready for and it doesn't take you by surprise. But it, like, strikes Arthur as, like, did she know this whole time? And then he just becomes, like, super self-doubting and then realizes that it wouldn't be just as easy as, like, you know, her passing and then after an appropriate time marrying Jean. It would be, like, a lie that he would have to keep up with his kids for the rest of his life like now.
Yeah, like, how did he meet her and how could he have fallen for her?
So he's just, like, you know, freaking out about everything in the same way that it had been bothering them the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But that's pretty much all that happens.
Yeah, kind of right at the end, Arthur and George sort of have their first, like, contact, I feel like, through mail.
Yeah, he sort of, like, finally resolves to be like, okay, well, I need to get my head straight. I can't get anything done. I'm not even getting any of my work done. I can't even respond to any of the mail that's coming in. So I need to just, you know, deal with everything. And just move forward and, you know, I'll write myself as I move forward. And that includes with Jean. He says, I'm going to marry Jean and, you know, everything will fall into place, you know, as I'm taking steps. So he first goes to his office where he's been letting his assistant handle everything pretty much.
Yeah.
And goes through a couple of letters, but then he has a letter that he reads authored by George Ailgee. And that's where the chapter cuts for me. Yeah, I don't get anything additional.
Yeah, it cuts for me there too, but I also wrote down in my notes to listen to the next part. Because I forgot the exact sentence that you said, but it was like the next sentence was saying, I can't even remember, but it was just kind of cool because it was like Arthur and George together and gives you kind of like a little hint about like what the next little bit's going to be about.
Yeah, this being the end of chapter two, now we're at chapter three. Which is a longer chapter than chapter two was, the longest chapter of the book, which I guess isn't saying much because it only really has to be longer than one chapter. Chapters one and four are like 60 pages. This is obviously where everything happens as far as like the mystery goes. I don't know what it is. I guess the thing is where or why did George get released? And if... depending on what that is, why he got released and what his current conditions of parole are, is he in need of finding out why, you know, what it is that happened? Is he trying to exonerate himself at this point? So that's why he's asking for Arthur's help. I guess that makes the most sense.
Or did he get Arthur's help and that's what got him out early?
Well, I think that it would have been really weird for them to write it like that and not tell us that George had written to Arthur about it.
Yeah, okay.
That would seem like such like a constructed reveal.
Yeah, maybe it is just to exonerate himself then. He just wrote to Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, that seems to make the most sense.
That's
right. But then even, I mean, there's a lot of details to be revealed in why... they're now getting together, which I suppose we'll get in our next George section or whenever they're talking. George will be like, I was in prison. I've been on parole for 6 months now. I'm trying to, you know, exonerate myself because it wasn't me. And I would like for you to help me.
The next George section.
Something like that, I guess, is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then we get to find out who actually has been doing all this stuff. Because I still think that it's the same person that's behind all... of the harassment.
Okay.
And then, you know, like we've talked the last couple episodes, I don't know if they're necessarily the same as the person that's been slaughtering the animals, or mm-hmm. if they're related, or whatever it is. Yeah. All that sort of stuff will start to find out. I hope that this is where it starts getting, like really exciting, and there's, like, an actual sort of, like Holmesian mystery about it, where we get to, you know, be involved with it to some degree.
Yeah, dude, something's cooking for sure, because I feel like, well, I mean, the section we just listened to, as far as the audiobook goes, that was, like, almost the end of chapter 3. We have, like, 5 minutes left of chapter 3, and then an hour left of chapter 4, and then the whole thing is done. So, mm-hmm. we're almost done as far as, like, the audiobook.
And all that's left for the book is the third chapter, and then there's a fourth chapter, which is as short as the first chapter.
Okay.
So I assume it's just wrap-up stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, where they are now that everything's over, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is that ends up happening afterwards. So... yeah, this is where it all happens, I assume. Yeah, man. I hope so.
Yeah, dude, I'm kind of excited now that we have so much, like, foundation. I feel like we're going to get, like, a real good final product, you know. I don't know if you want to finish the book, this next section, but...
it would be a lot. We can definitely
cut it in half or do what you got to do for the reading, because yeah, it's different.
Let me look at the pages again right quick, because I know it's longer than chapter 3. So for the book, we'll read about 70-ish pages, and that takes us to the first Anson section. So if you remember Chief Constable Anson of Great Wyrley, the town that George was in, and you know, all that, everything happened in, it's he's got a reading section, and it's the first one of his.
Okay, we stop before we listen to it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
So it's about 70-ish pages for Kindle.
Okay,
we'll
cool.
see, you know, where that lies for you, I suppose.
Yeah.
It looks like there was a George and Arthur section, and then a very long Arthur section, mm-hmm. and then Anson. So
okay.
That'll be where we stop. Then we'll, you know, see where that gets us and where we start going after that. I think that we'll probably only have, if we cut this in half, and then we have an episode for the wrap-up, that's uh-huh. three episodes left of this, so okay. we'll... start thinking about what the next book will be.
Yeah, you want to switch genres?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm going to pick some we hadn't done yet.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a couple of different options.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we're really starting to branch out into stuff that I hadn't even considered, like a historical book or, you know, historical fiction, all kinds of, I mean, there's, I can't really think of any other types right now, but I'm sure, I mean, there are a ton of other types of books, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can come up with.
Yeah,
we'll definitely. Figure something out. Awesome. And then we've got other ideas that we've been mulling about anyways. So
yeah, definitely.
Maybe something there. I don't know.
Cool, yeah. I mean, you just follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ears_stamps. dogearsandtimestamps@gmail.com. Email us. Talk to us.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think, especially of the book. Let us know what you think of the mystery, why he got out. Why he got out early?
Yeah.
4 years early?
If anybody has any ideas. I assume that it's just a parole situation.
Yeah.
But we'll find out, I guess.
No looking it up, though.
No looking it up. You can't go to George Adelge's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Like I almost did on accident at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, we will see y'all next week.
Yeah.
Next week will be after the Pro Bowl, which is a game that does not matter at all. Hopefully the AFC wins, I guess. And we'll talk to you all ahead of the Super Bowl. All
right.
Where hopefully the Pats don't get fucked like the Saints got fucked this weekend by the officials.
Ooh, dang.
I'm Will Hedrick.
And I'm Jordan Schaffer.
This is Doggers and Timestamps.
Man, let it out.
Go, dude. Pats.